Ms. Pearlette Merriweather, former interim city manager for the city of Muskegon Heights. Pearlette, how are you doing today?
I am doing well. I'm doing well despite the whirlwind that's going on around me.
I know it's been a lot the last, 72 hours?
It has. Monday was a shock. Tuesday, you know, I got a chance to just let it sink in. And it was a shock. Tuesday, and really start just let it sink in, throwing mud and coming up with accusations of why they let me go. Wednesday, the thing about it is, all you have is your name and your reputation. And the things that they were said is against my name and my reputation. And so, normally I'm a very private person. I didn't want to do this, but it has to be done.
And the things that what was said that was wrong?
Is against my name.
What was said that was wrong?
Normally I'm a very private person.
Started off with the accusation that I had stolen or embezzled money.
What was said that was wrong?
Abusive to staff.
What was said that was wrong?
And hiring the council didn't approve of. Well, according to the charter, the city manager runs the city, and managing the employees and hiring the employees and firing the employees up under the city's manager's purview.
According to the charter,
up to the city manager.
The city manager runs the city and
the accusations that they were saying,
and employees and firing them,
and the reason why they were saying
the city manager's purview
did not,
it's up to the city manager,
have any substance to it. And what I mean about that is
the accusations,
it was just words and rhetoric.
And the reason why they were saying
no investigation was done
did not have any substance to it.
And as a matter of fact, yesterday was the first day that I learned why it happened.
You had no clue.
No investigation.
Monday night, you had no clue the reason why.
No clue. And as a matter of fact,
I want to go back a little bit.
Yesterday was the first day that I learned why it happened.
You had no clue. You worked very hard. Monday night. You don't mind. Share your educational background.
No clue.
I want to go back a little bit.
So, as far as education, is that I went to Grand Valley, have a bachelor's.
If you don't mind, share.
I don't remember if it's science or is it arts. I think it's arts because of Spanish,
education,
public administration, managing the first organization.
Bachelor.
So that's that degree managed the public resources. My other degree is a Juris Doctorate, a law degree, and then I have an LLM, and that is around government assistance and contracting. As far as my work experience, I've always worked for government. One of the reasons why I chose my degree is the thing about public administration and the difference between working in public life and for a private business is one focuses on money and shareholders, and the other one focuses on people and managing the people's resources. And I like that. So after my undergrad and after law school, those are the type of jobs that I had. My first job out of college was with the Salvation Army, a volunteer coordinator. I've always wanted to help people. Then after law school, I moved to Washington, D.C. and started working for the federal government and focused on public contracting. I think that was in 2003. And from 2003 until 2019, I believe, I worked at various agencies in various positions, but always around public contracting, government regulations, and administrative law. So my last organization that I worked for, it no longer exists, it's U.S. Agency for International Development.
its development, that agency nation builds. But how they nation build is by building communities. And so when you go in and build a community, you do things by finding what the local population want. And it and also depends on whether it's education, water, better governance, things of that nature. But it's all community development. And so how I came to the city of Muskegon Heights, I looked at their single audit. Like I said, so one of the things when it goes to public contracting, what we do, especially for the client compliance part, is we look at single audits to determine whether or not we're going to give an organization a grant.
Mm-hmm.
And that tells us how responsible they are with the government's money.
Mm-hmm.
And so even in D.C., I would look at Muskegon Heights Public Schools and look at their single audits and see what they were up to. And I would look at the city and see what they're up to. So when I moved back, I did the same thing. And I noticed that on their audit, and that happens yearly, that it said they had problems. They had repeat audit findings of internal control problems, meaning that the duties are not separated and it's vulnerable to the risk of fraud, waste, and abuse. And I started volunteering, looking at their policies, and would send the policies to Melvin and email them. That was offsite, to Melvin. Well, all of a sudden, Melvin was gone, and the mayor had invited me to interview. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll interview. Let's just see how it goes. And when I got to the interview, I didn't know it was a public interview. Now, I have prepared people to speak in front of, give them talking points to speak in front of a Congress. My last job with USAID, I was a senior advisor. So doing things of that nature, oh. Giving talking points to go talk to, if it's not Congress or higher up, I'm used to presenting in front of the board.
You said USAID?
USAID.
Oh, wow. So people don't know that's international aid.
U.S. Agency for International Development.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all like the ultimate nonprofit. And it's kind of a terrible term now. We're nation builders.
Yeah. I see them in Africa. I see the name term.
Yeah.
Yes.
So when I interviewed, I was excited and I was shocked when I got there that it was in public. And I was like, what? And so like, go and try to hold your own, try to answer the questions. It's an experience, have fun with it. I really did want to help the city with the financing and getting more money. But I also understand in order to get more funding, you have to clean up that audit. You have to have a strong finance department. You repeat audit findings. The government will not give you direct money. And you see that in the city of Muskegon Heights because they have, the technical term is pass-throughs. Like the Prine and Newhoff's and the Metro Consulting, they are the ones that can ask for the grant and they're administered a grant.
Okay.
They won't let the city administer the grant.
Okay.
Now, the city can administer or is allowed to administer some grants, but they're low value. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say low value. They're not high dollar value. They're like $500K as opposed to like the water project. It's one of them. Well, they're over $50
million. Okay.
So, That right there, not having a proper or a stable finance department, not only it affects your ability to get state and federal grants, but it also when investors or development come in and look, if you can't handle your business in provide services for the residents, then why do we want to do business here?
So it stands out.
Yes.
And so you tried to fix that.
Yes. And so in fixing that, one of the things, the few things that I was doing before I was interrupted was locating a finance director. And that's been my goal for ever since I've been here. And that's been very, very hard. I had located, I say it, one in a possible MBAs, but they were light on finance. But I thought, well, okay, they're light on finance. I can get them trained up in finance. What I need is their business mind, their ability to strategically plan and lead an organization, the finance department. That's what truly is needed. I talked to people in the county and also in other cities that finding a finance director is hard. It's not everyone's having that issue, because one of the things that I wanted to do with the county was ask them if I can borrow 120 days, not your deputy, but maybe the third person next to the deputy that wants to feel stretched and know enough to provide the higher function and leadership to the people in Muskegon Heights. I was really trying to think out of the box to get things moving, because I know how important that is. Is currently in the finance department findings that are repeatedly is that they have a general ledger, and what the general ledger is, it records the money coming in and the money coming out, the revenue and the expenditures. So currently, and it's been happening, I know it happened last year and happened the year before and the year before that, the expenditures are not being timely input into the general ledger. And what that does is that when you go to make decisions and you spend money, you don't even know how much money you've already spent or how much money you have left. And that's how the city is in the current predicament of between $2 million, $2.5 million over budget. Mm-hmm. Because the general ledger that feeds into the budget is not giving real numbers. Mm-hmm. And that needs to be fixed immediately. And then another thing that I was doing to address that is every other Tuesday, I have a person to train more than one person in the finance department to input in the general ledger to address that problem. And they would have had the first training this Tuesday.
Oh, wow. Well, there were comments about hiring people. So it was this part of that hiring thing, hiring people that the commission or council didn't approve? How did it go?
So like I said, back in December, when it came to light that we have a deficit for 2025. And what a deficit looks like from a physical year standpoint is that you run out of money before the end of the year. And what it looks like in real life is we didn't get caught up to paying our vendors until April of 2026. People were waiting for money. We were waiting for revenue to come in to pay them. So during that council meeting and we passed the budget, the city was put on a hiring freeze. And I told them it's funny that we need to be put on the hiring freeze, but we need personnel to stabilize the city. So not only did we have a deficit in money, but we had a deficit in talent to move the city forward. And I was instructed, which I did in January, to send a list of the positions that was needed to hire to move the city forward. And I did that. And I hired off that list. On that list, let me think. On that list was a program analyst, inspector, a procurement grant specialist, HR person, they're on the list, exempt from the hiring freeze.
Okay.
So
those are the only one.
We also needed to hire someone in it's slipping my mind. And water. Okay. And the thing about water is very specific. It's heavily regulated because it's considered public health and it's a utility. And what makes it a utility is that you can't get it from nowhere else. It's the only one place. It's like gas and electric.
Right.
And so it's heavily regulated. And it's public health because if they don't measure those chemicals right, the whole city could get sick.
Exactly.
And so they have specific requirements right down to the number of customer service reps we need.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah. So, one of the other ones was the help for the income tax, because the income tax function had not done compliance, which is, the compliance is for people that do not file their taxes, that live in the city of Muskegon Heights, or they work in the city of Muskegon Heights. They identify them and you collect their money. It's like when you skip paying the IRS and all of a sudden you get a letter. That's compliance.
Right.
And so that hadn't been done in 10 years. And so I had asked the person there, so what do you need to bring compliance? I need another person. So I was like, okay, we'll get you another person. So those were the positions that were okay to hire on. And so I went with the person that they had the discrepancy with is a program analyst. Now, this person, when they said, first of all, the city manager has the ability to hire and fire who they want within reason in following the regulations. Second of all, when I hire people, I like to do a panel interview. It's a group.
Okay.
It's always I'm not going to say her name, but it's always the executive assistant, because she has an extensive HR background, and one of the department heads in the city. And we discuss it. This person is awesome, though, you know?
Right.
So initially, this person was hired for another position, but they didn't have the credentials. And the credentials were that he needed was for the inspector, chief inspector. And to be the chief inspector, you need 6 years of experience along with a certain type of license. And before we interviewed him, before we decided to interview any of them, we looked to see if they had a license or they were eligible to take a license. Well, this person that we interviewed, there was a person already with the same name that was eligible to take. Also, he's eligible to take a license, sit for the test and be a chief inspector. But it wasn't him, but they had the same name. So we couldn't give him that job.
Right.
But he interviewed so well, and the things that he said he wanted to do for the city needed to be done and can be done under the program analyst. And what he had did was updated the fee schedules for inspections, because we were losing money in the inspection. We were paying contractor inspectors more than what we were charging for the fee for inspection. So we were losing $5 a pop.
Okay.
Another thing that he did was when it came to the water in April, it was amazing. In April, he brought in his efforts, brought in I want to say $226,000 just for the month of April for backwater bills.
Wow.
And now they're working on an effort, and this is what we were trying to figure out. We're doing, and it's everything that that was being done was already a part of the city ordinance. It's just that we did not have the infrastructure to implement it to bring in the revenue. And so right now they should be implementing the assessment for backwater bills. And what we were trying to figure out is how much do we put on the assessment? Because we had also, we're not just going out and doing these things. We talked to the county and asked them for best practices. And he was going around to see what the best practices are. And one of the best practices is you have to figure out a certain amount, because if a water bill is $2,000 and you put it on with the tax bill and the person cannot pay the total $2,000, you're forcing them into foreclosure. And that's not what we're trying to do. What we're trying to do is get back payment for the water.
Right.
So instead, this is what the plan was to only put a certain percentage on the water bill that'd be manageable, make payment plans, and put a lien on the property until you finish paying your payment plan. Because the goal, like I said, the goal is not to take people's property away from them or cause them more hardship.
Did that cause any problems?
It didn't matter. All of this person's efforts and the good things that he did, it didn't matter because it was him.
Because of the person?
Yes.
That was hired?
Yes. And I was actually afraid for him because I love discretion. When I worked as a city manager, I would protect council people's identity and, you know, mm-hmm. on sensitive matters. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, girl, you no longer work for them. Say the name. Derek Collins want me to fire him. And he would call me up. How come he's here? How come you hired him? This last issue where he went to training and this person went to training, and how come he got to go to training? And the other people in inspections didn't go to training. I was like, he put in for it. Well, how come you didn't assign him up? Okay, I was over here managing the city. I didn't even know of the training. The guy signed up a month and a half ago. I got a whole city to look after. How come he didn't tell them? Well, I made sure that there was a clear line. This person only does policies and procedures to provide infrastructure to the inspection department and the water department. Does not direct staff, tell staff to do, manage staff, nothing to do with staff. He was off doing the assignments that I gave him. What do you want me to do? And then I'm saying, well, what would you like for me to do? Because I didn't know of the training and this person doesn't manage them. I want you to get rid of Calvin. Oops.
All right. Well, hey. They know now.
You ain't there no more. I mean, they.
So
you ain't there no more.
There's a lot of comments online.
Oh,
take a break. A lot of comments. I can't even read them all. But overwhelmingly, the comments are saying that they believe you. The city needs you. Some have said that they need to owe you an apology. How do you feel right now? You volunteered looking at stuff when you wasn't city manager. You gave up a lot. You could be anywhere. You know, I know your credentials. You don't have to be in Muskegon.
Sure don't.
with your credentials, working for USAID. She kind of, I mentioned it again, because USAID was a big organization.
Oh, yeah.
Your boy cut it. It was a very big. You'll be with Trump.
Well, yeah, we'll go with
Trump. Yeah, yeah.
But I'm was the only half breed here. So
the white guy in the room.
I'm the only white guy in the room.
But it was a big organization, and to have you working in that capacity, I know what USAID because I'm a chief in Ghana.
Oh.
Yeah, and USAID has benefited my second country big time. It's benefited villages in Ghana. And so for you to be in that credential and end up back in Muskegon trying to help out this community, I just wanted to make sure people know your credentials and or where you at. You wasn't no
Rudy Poo.
No Rudy Poo. No Poo. But, no Rudy, you know what I mean? It's a real deal.
Right.
How do you feel now? You know, it's been 3 days later. Is there any other recourse for you?
So my feelings now is that, first of all, I want to give Mayor Bonnie McLaughlin, Councilman Jenkins, Pro Tem Kelly Kitchens, and actually up until recently, Councilman William Kitchen. They were a joy to work with. They wanted to figure things out for the city and for the city council. And from what I understand, Lachey was the driving force for bringing me on, gave me the opportunity. And I was humbled by just to be there and to serve. I can remember writing my essay to get into law school that I want to be a lawyer so I could know the laws and serve my community by knowing the laws. And this was a dream come true. Everything that I said that I wanted to do in that application, it was allowing me to do it. So I was very happy. I loved when citizens came in and complained. This one citizen, he would be at the council meetings all the time, and he would complain about the cemetery. And when we did the cemetery contracts, I said, okay, we got to get this right because so-and-so is going to be judging us. I loved it, and I loved the fact that he was keeping an eye on it. I love to hear citizens, because you live in the Muskegon Heights, you pay your taxes, use your voice. So in that part, I enjoyed. Mm-hmm. How I feel about now is that my reputation, just because I wanted to come serve and to help move the city forward, to be about part of something, I'm being lied on. Come on now, stealing $450,000.
You made that at USAID. I'm sure of it.
Well, they made money. It's not a lot of money. but I think what I saw is that I think it was Councilman Simmons that said that you had took money from a savings and moved it to another account and didn't move it back. I didn't get that she accused you of personally taking that part.
Oh, okay.
Moving the money from a savings account, probably, I don't know, paying a bill, I don't know, and not moving it back and didn't have permission. That's what I got. That's what I saw.
Okay, so money between saving between accounts it moved all the time without council approval. If it's the instance of what I'm thinking of, again, it stems from back in December when our accounting consultant gave us basically a state of our budget. And he had mentioned in the presentation and also in his write-up that one of our bond requirements, we have bond requirements, and they can last, bonds, they last about 20, 30, 10 years. One of the requirements of a bond was that a certain amount of money be kept in an account. He had reported that this account was a couple of $100,000 over what the requirement was, and that money could be
used to spend, used to pay bills. So the money that was above the money that was the excess from what was required from the bond was taken out, put in pool cash, and paid city bills. Now, for invoices, all of a sudden when I got there, it needed to go to the finance committee, which was fine. I sent things to the finance committee, but they didn't get paid right away. They didn't get paid right away because the city didn't pay bills. We were paying notices. Bills would come in, and we wouldn't have money to pay for them. So it would be first in, and that's what we paid.
You have to wait.
Yes. One of the things that the finance committee had did was for one bond, which was crazy. And this actually goes to the comment that I'm not accessible. I didn't call back or answer their phone calls. As a lawyer, I'm going to say, stop telling lies that are easily verified. Now, there's always phone records and there's always emails. I emailed them. I always kept them updated. And when it was time especially for budget back in March, I emailed them. I called them. What's the best date for us for a meeting to discuss the budget? When are you available? Even sent the thing out, the doodle out. Nothing. And so finally, I selected 3 days on a calendar to talk about the budget. Actually, it's the roadmap. First, this is what we're going to do. We're going to try to see if we can get more revenue in.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing we're going to do, we're going to see what we can cut. And getting revenue in included strengthening cities' functions like the income tax. Like I said before, the income tax had not been, the compliance hadn't been done in 10 years. So there's a lot of money left on the table.
Oh, wow.
What else? Taking the payroll outside of the city because currently the city owes the federal government almost or over $500,000 in payroll taxes that someone forgot to pay. Now, this was so when you do a late payment to the IRS for payroll tax, you get assessed fines. Mm-hmm. In 2025.
No, we know. They don't play.
They don't play around with that.
Well, the city was assessed over $9,000 for 2025. Mm. And then there was other costs that we were assessed to payroll that I found that, well, you know what? Let's see if we can find someone to do our payroll that we would. So, allow the person, because we just didn't have enough people in finance. So to give free up the finance to have more capacity to attend to the general ledger or to learn more skills and tighten that budget. And the cost of that was, and this also included, so the city currently does not have electronic, timesheets. They keep the time on spreadsheets.
Oh, wow.
And they do your, like, your sick leave and your vacation. It's all on a spreadsheet. And I'm like, that's just too vulnerable to too many mistakes. Changes. Who's double checking? Yeah. Just all kind of stuff. So the time card piece and the payroll piece to be taken out of the city would cost the city $11,000 a year, not a month, a year. And it also they also gave us the capability for when people clock in, you can assign it to a computer
or if they clock in on their phone, it'll tell you their location. And so you'll know people are where they're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And that would bring more accountability. Because one of the things that it's a good thing that I'm a person that likes to solve problems, because the city had a myriad of things for me to do, and I was grateful to do them.
Take a deep breath, like 10 to 15 seconds. WVSLP 103.7 Muskegon, Muskegon Heights. We're live with Pearlette Merriweather, former interim city manager for the city of Muskegon Heights. If you have a question for her, I see a lot of online questions. I cannot get to these. I'm talking about over 300 comments online, so we can't get to those. You can call 722-8338. You have a question for her, a comment. I see a lot of comments online, but 231, I think our phone lines is open. Pearlette, I know you've been through a lot. And in full disclosure, me and Pearlette work together at the prison system. So mm-hmm. This is very hard to see happen. You know, we had each other back. We had to have each other back as correction officers. And I have nothing but respect for you, your journey of a young lady from our community doing things the right way. And so it's, I don't want to get personal, but it's just, I'm glad you was able to come and give your side. 231-722. Are we good, Mr. Producer? Is we working? We good? All right. Go ahead, Big Rob. I know you've been waiting in the wings for a minute here.
Bro, yeah, y'all don't want me to talk.
no question. No, yeah, yeah. Just okay. Yeah.
What do you think City of Muskegon Heights' biggest problem is, besides the internal stuff that me and PA know about?
Whether they know it or not, one of their biggest problems is lack of public trust. Lack of public trust.
You put it real good. I would have never put it that way.
Going to the phone line. Caller, you're live on 103.7 to beat. You have a question or comment for Miss Pearlette Merriweather.
Man, PA, this is Gemini the Poet, the voice for the voiceless. Miss Pearlette, on behalf of the citizens of Muskegon Heights that truly care about this city, thank you. I have not heard this kind of transparency in my 20 plus years living out. The council dropped the ball, PA. They need to apologize. We had a dream.
Well, she can hear you. She can hear you. She can hear you. I think she couldn't hear you. Go ahead, Jim, and I repeat. Go ahead and preach. She got another headset on.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Ms. Pearlette, on behalf of the citizens that truly care about this city of Muskegon Heights, thank you. As someone who has also faced backlash for my voice and not going along with the program, I understand. I pray for you. I appreciate what you were trying to do. We haven't had this kind of transparency in this city in the 20 plus years I've lived here. So thank you.
You're welcome, because part of gaining the public trust is transparency. And that's why I had said earlier, I love it when citizens come in and they, even though it's a complaint, they come in and they learn why, for example, why this the cemetery isn't being kept like it needs to be kept, because we can't afford it. Now, here's the money, and this is what's missing.
Mm. Wow. Thank you, Gemini. Thank you,
Gemini the Poet.
Love you, sis. Take care.
Love y'all.
Yeah. Chris Mitchell, like, read these statements. There's a lot of statements up here, Chris. Chris, you got to come. Chris Mitchell.
Oh, he said.
read the statement. Read his comment. You overwhelmingly support. I can say that. A lot of love in the community. I would read from Dr. Nicole Bradford, that she is sharp, smart, intelligent, excellent in a community daughter. No one will match that. That council should be ashamed. And former city council person Tamika Savage said she's clearly directing the city on risk mitigation. So a lot of comments here. A lot of good comments. 231-722-8338. You live with we lost him. So you didn't see this coming. All this happened at the end of Monday's meeting.
Well, sort of, kind of. Actually, now that I look back, I did have a kind of a heads up.
the fire chief had came to me. I had been on a vacation the prior week, and I came back June 2nd. The fire chief had came to me and said, listen, Lachey says she wants me to be the city manager. I don't have the bandwidth for that. I'm not doing that. That's too big of a job, and I want no parts of it. And I support you 100%. I was like, oh, okay. And their plan couldn't have come to fruition if you didn't agree. You had to agree to that plan to come to fruition. And it that hurt me because I did believe in him. And I, because you can only take people at their word. The fire chief, Robeson, he's a sharp guy. He has a lot of ideas. And one reason why I never thought he would do that, because he was actually pushing to be the safety officer and a model Muskegon Heights off of downtown, having a safety officer and not having a police chief or a fire chief. I thought that was his goal, because even during the week of the 2nd, he had brought me a paper in and wanted me to send it to the personnel committee about that. So I didn't see that coming.
Wow. Going to the phone line, caller, you're live with Pearlette Merriweather, live on 103.7, or being live on social media. You got a question or comment?
Okay. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. So let me get off of this.
No, that's okay. That's somebody else trying to dial in. That's go ahead. Go ahead. What's okay. Your question or comment?
I have a question about what Ms. Pearlette. Ms. Pearlette, we appreciate all the transparency, like Ms. I don't know, Gemini said before. We haven't had this kind of transparency. Usually when we come down to City Hall and we voice our issues, you know, we get defensiveness back. You know, we're mothers that raise children in that area who have to pull our children out of those schools because they're not being... They can't learn, you know. So we go down to City Hall and we express these concerns, like amongst many things. There's murders, there's all kinds of things that are going on. And we've gotten nothing but honestly disrespect back. Like, why, how dare you come up here and ask us this when we're doing all these things in this avenue? We don't get the type of empathy that you share. So I feel like they earned it, honestly, the distrust from the public amongst all the scandal that's gone on that hasn't been accounted for over the last term. People that have served, we've never gotten accountability for anything amongst the Encompass money, the community Encompass money that went missing during pandemic, the houses, the housing scandal that we found out about during the just all the scandal. There's been so much scandal that hasn't been accounted for. So I feel like that trust is placed in the right, the distrust is rightly placed.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank
she mentioned scandal. Have you uncovered any kind of scandals, any kind of corruption, any kind of money missing, unaccounted for?
So I know we were supposed to do a forensic audit, but we didn't have the money for it. I was looking, okay, so my background is, and I say compliance, it's also looking for fraud and knowing what things should cost. So when I reviewed invoices, I review them with that eye, what things should cost. And there has been an instance where an invoice that was padded, which caught my eye, which I had to send it over to the police department to be vetted, which found that there was some there. It was in the senior millage. It was for snow removal. And the individual had sent in the invoice charging $125 for snow removal for senior citizens. And I'm like, okay, shoveling the snow and perhaps doing the driveway, $125. I'm like, okay, so I've lived in Muskegon for a long time, but I was raised here. And I do get my snow removed from other people. And I've never paid $125. At most I paid $50. That's the top end, and $75.
I would feel gouged, but this was 125. So when I sent it to the Heights Police Department, and they sent it on to Norton Shores, where they have their task force to investigate crimes against elderly or seniors, and then it followed within the senior millage. And what they're I wonder if I could say that it's the ongoing investigation. What they did say, it wasn't there, and it warranted further
looking into them.
Yeah,
we're going to the phone line, and you've been here for almost, it'd be an hour and about 10 minutes. So we're going to cut it off in about 10 minutes.
Okay.
And caller, you're live with Pearlette Merriweather. You got a question or comment for her?
Yes, I do. Hello, this is Tamika Savage. I just want to say to Pearlette, you have done a phenomenal job. So city and council have to understand the level of business and financial acumen that you come with, and your level of knowledge of law and grants and funding and those things. And when you don't understand that, you start asking questions and wanting things that can't be substantiated. When you're operating in a deficit, your goal is to get that city leveled. And so you have to understand that. So I appreciate, I don't live in the city anymore, but my entire family is there. So I appreciate your level of accountability and responsibility and holding people accountable. And one of the questions, I think Big Rob asked the question, what's the problem with council? It's too many personal concerns. So we can't move forward because I don't like you and I don't like you. So the vote is off, and it is not a good decision to make emotionally charged decisions. And that seemed to be emotionally charged when I heard it. Were you given any goals, any KPIs, any strategic planning, anything like that to start your journey? Did anybody talk to you? Was anything documented? Anything like that? But congratulations. We need you back in the seat. You have done phenomenal work in the short time that you were there, and it is a tremendous loss. So,
well, thank you for saying that. One of the, no, I didn't receive any KSAs or directions. The only thing that the mayor had instructed me to do was stabilize the city. Bring accountability to the city. She wanted the forensic audit. And though she didn't use these terms, the public trust is important to her too. And that the things that she wanted done, like I said, the finance, accountability for the roads, those things, the nature of the excessive overtime, she wanted me to address.
And do you believe that there were people taking advantage of overtime?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. One example of taking advantage of overtime, you know, the bathrooms out at Mona Lake, they would open and close the bathrooms, and they would do overtime to open the bathrooms. And in the union contract, a minimum of 3 hours for when you get called. And they always did them when they were done or off duty. So they get called in for open or close the bathrooms, and it would be time and a half. So if somebody was making $20 an hour, they would get time and a half for, so that'd be 30. So the bathroom, to open up a bathroom, you can make a nice $90. Yeah.
Just open up the bathroom.
Yeah, that's fraud, waste, and abuse. That is fraud. And I had cut it out. I had said stop doing that and came up with a solution. And in the meeting, when I first told them, let's come up with a solution. And then
some of the heads in the meeting said to me, council wanted it to stop. Can't you just tell the council that they're not doing it? And they said it in my staff meeting. So after the staff meeting, I brought the three heads to my office. I said, don't ever say that in front of the staff anymore. My word is my bond. There will be no more overtime for opening and closing bathrooms, period.
Got another phone call. Caller, you're live on 103.7 with Beeper Perlette Merriweather. You got a question or comment?
Hi, this is Dr. Nikki.
Hey, Dr. Nikki.
And how you doing? I'm a daughter of Muskegon Heights. I don't live in the city anymore, but I have a business here in Muskegon Heights because I love the city. Perlette, I am totally and 100% grateful for you coming back here to offer to lend your experience and your expertise when we all know that you could have gone anywhere, but you came back here. So I thank you personally from the bottom of my heart, but I hope that a lot of us Perlettes, Nicoles, Geminis, I hope that we're all watching and I hope that we're all ready to be ready and say, you know what, at some point this has to stop. Let's come together as a group, as a whole. All of us who are outraged by what has happened in the last few days, we need to come together as a whole. I think I said this yesterday on the show or the other day when the prosecutor was there. We need to get mad enough. And this is a call for action. Let's get rid of the waste, the fraud, the abuse, the everything that's going on that is stopping us from prospering as a city. And Perlette, thank you for putting your foot forward.
Okay. Only thing missing from your statement is power to the people.
Only thing missing from your statement is power to the people. We know you meant to say that, though.
That's what I'm talking about. And you know what? Sometimes it breaks my heart to say it, but it's power to the people. Talking to our own people, you know, this is our city, you know, and it's our people that continue to be a hindrance. At one point, are we going to say, stop it? At what point are we going to put our own feet forward in a good way and stop pushing each other back? Well, you know, at what point are we going to support each other?
Thank you, Doc. Thank you for calling.
I'm down.
All right. Take care. Before we go, what can you say to the citizen that you're no longer interim city manager, but you saw some things that most people probably won't see. You saw data, you saw staff morale, you know things that might be coming down the pipelines. What can you say to the citizens who love their community and they feel they don't know what's happening? What can you say to them?
Actually, just by the reaction and what they've been saying, I normally tell people at a baseline, watch and ask the right questions. And they're already watching and they're already asking the right questions. Now they need to demand to see the proof. The proof, like a lot of council members will say, well, this is not right. We want to do this. I'm here for the people. But those are just mere words. You need to see actions. You need to ask why aren't their streets fixed? Does the citizens know that we get about $2 million a year for streets? There's a millage that brings in just over $400K. And then there's local and major streets that we get revenue sharing from the state. The major is, I want to say about maybe 1.5 million. And then the local is less. And that's how we get that about that 2 million. And so, okay. So 2 million times 10, we only had 20 million. So what about the streets?
So they have the money. The money is there.
Well, you can't do all the streets all together, but you can make a plan, address the worst streets, patch the ones that you can and keep it moving. Watch and ask the right questions. You're watching now and you're asking the right questions. Now demand results.
Are you going to stay in the area?
Oh yeah, I'm going to stay in the area.
Oh, okay. Yes. I know you got opportunities other places. So, all right. Thank you. Your sister, if people that's watching, that's her sister who came here for support. Sister Kimberly.
Sister Kimberly.
Yeah, Sister Kimberly, the younger sister.
You've been correct her.
And I know you didn't come in to be on radio, but you've been watching your sister on a tag. And is there a mic over there? Can we give her a mic? Yeah. She didn't come for this. But
I did not.
Your sister been under attack. Mm-hmm. How did that make you feel as her protector? Because y'all like a 1-2 combination, y'all.
We are. And you know, it made me want to take it to the streets. But
I wouldn't let her. The fam wants to go to the
streets. Yeah. But I do understand, just from listening to her, she's very passionate about what she does. She was waking up and she was there for long hours. Like, she would be there from 10 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock at night sometimes, trying to figure out how she could help the city. And just for personal feelings to stop the growth is like the biggest issue that I have. I think if you watch her, they say always, if you want to be in a room, you want to be in a room with people that are smart, right?
Exactly.
She's super intelligent. She knows a lot of what she does, and you can glean from her instead of and strategically plan with her versus strategically planning against her. And I think like that is my biggest issue, that you didn't try to come to a place where you sat down with her and had a meeting of the minds. And I think a lot of times that's our issue. We don't have to like each other, but if we have the same goal and we're moving towards the same vision, that is the focus. And I feel like they lost focus of what the vision was.
All right. Thank you. All right. You can breathe now. It's over. It's over. Thank you for reaching out and stopping by to be transparent in the community. Really appreciate it. We're going back to more music, y'all. We're going to take a break. We're going back to more music.